888-224 Liberty or 464-8295. It's Open Line Wednesday. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. So let's go to Bud, who's calling from Flint, Michigan. Hi there, Bud. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I don't know if you remember me. I called a couple weeks ago and I asked about Maitreya and a couple other things.
Yeah,
of course. And stuff.
Right.
I did a little research on my own about that false Jesus I was telling you about.
Right.
Jesus Sananda. And I just wanted to let your listeners know that it seems that there is actually a false Jesus out there. I actually
There's a lot of false Jesuses. I mean, certainly the fellow who heads the Reverend Moon, he claims to be a Messiah. And
right.
there are other people who claim to be, you know, Messiahs. I mean, the true spiritual leader. So tell us about the one that you've been researching.
Well, you know, if you, I know you had Tex Mars on your show the other day, and, you know, like, I actually learned about the New Age religion from his book. And, you know that they get their doctrines from these ascended masters,
right.
These hierarchy or whatnot?
From the elder brothers, from the spiritual hierarchy, from the ancients of wisdom. They've got all sorts of names for them. These are
right.
These are demonic spirits. That's what it's really all about. But go right ahead.
This Jesus Sananda, Emmanuel, as he calls himself, is one of those. And actually, I went to the Share International website, and I looked at the question and answer section they had there, and
right.
They were asking the question, there was a question on there about Jesus, because, you know, this Maitreya claims that Jesus was his Messiah, or his disciple, or whatnot. And basically, they were saying they called him the Master Jesus, and they claimed that some reincarnated life he attained master status or whatnot.
No, they call them, they call themselves the masters of wisdom, one of the names that
right.
they have for themselves. But they're
right.
really demonic, supernatural spirits. This is what they are. And they have supernatural power, and you want to steer clear of them. And they claim,
right.
of course, the Maitreya is there. I've read books by people, specifically Wayne Peterson's book, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People, or Beings, perhaps. I forgot. Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings. He's Wayne Peterson, who was recruited into this whole world occult movement, according to him, in his book, by David Rockefeller. Wayne Peterson claims he's met Maitreya on several occasions. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, according to them, they were saying that this Sanada guy is actually an Assyrian body, and he's been living in Rome, and he's just waiting for the right time to take up his place in the Catholic Church. I was assuming that's the Pope,
right,
or the leader. The interesting thing about it, I also learned recently about the Islam and the Imam Mahdi, which I'm assuming Maitreya would take that place as well.
You have to understand, but what this is, they believe, of course, that the Muslims are waiting for the return of the Imam Mahdi. Certainly, the Hindu are waiting for the return of Krishna. The Buddhists are waiting for the return of Buddha. The Jews are waiting for the Messiah. The Christians are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. The occultists say they're all the same being who will come to rule. Of course, we know that isn't true. Christ is the true Messiah, but of course all these others are false messiahs, but they're all waiting for this coming world leader. And of course, as you heard me say so often, the purpose of everything going on today is to bring about a new world order, a new world religion, and enthrone the new world leader. There are literally hundreds of millions of people waiting for this to occur, and hang on just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got we've got Bud on the line from Flint, Michigan, and he's been looking and studying this idea that Maitreya, and that is a term that is used for certainly this Hindu deity that is going to become coming into the world in the not-too-distant future. And they really believe that he's here just waiting, of course, to emerge, to be placed on the throne of the world. And people say that's crazy talk. Well, you really ought to listen to the discussion. It's a DVD we have with Constance Cumby, who's been studying this going on pretty close to 30 years. She got started in 1980. And she talks in her DVD on the emergence of her experience dealing with these people who really do believe that Maitreya is here and about to be enthroned. But go ahead. Did you have anything else you wanted to say there, Bud?
What I was saying was it's really interesting that all the other religions hold Jesus in some exalted, you know, not as who he really is, which is Lord and Savior and God, but, you know, as a prophet or a great teacher or whatnot. And it's particularly interesting that the Muslims hold him as a prophet. And from my understanding, they're looking for him to return, you know, basically when the Imam Mahdi returns, kind of like what the scriptures say that Elijah will return before the second coming of Christ. And what seems to me is what's being set up is that, you know, that this false Jesus that I'm talking about is that would actually be the false prophet.
You're absolutely right. And be careful as you begin reading when people talk about the Christ. That is not Jesus Christ. That they're simply using the term Christ as to be ruler or like a Messiah. But they talk about the Christ, not Jesus Christ, not our Lord. Okay, anything else, Bud, before I let you go?
Yeah, I was wondering, I listened to that show after the last time I called about Todd Bentley.
Right.
And I did a lot of investigation on him, too. But I was wondering, who was the woman that was on that show?
Well, let's see. I can't remember. Probably it was Carol Matriciano. We've had Carol on talking about Todd Bentley. We're going to have her on again later this week talking about Todd Bentley. But she's certainly one of the leading experts on it. I assume that's the program you listen to. Okay?
Yeah, okay. All right.
And, of course, you know that Todd Bentley now has been forced to leave his position. He was found he was having an affair with of course, one of his female assistants. His wife has left him in the very, very difficult times for their ministry. And, of course, no man of God, no true prophet of God's carrying on an affair with another woman. So,
right.
But it's amazing how many people were drawn into his statement that he was a true prophet and God was working through him, telling him to kick people in the face. My goodness, Sidney Barrett Schoes has written about this. Carol Matriciana has material on it. The Lighthouse Ministry has material on Todd Bentley, and we'll be discussing him later this week. Okay.
Okay.
God bless. Thanks very much. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you have a question, a comment, something you'd like to talk about, this is Open Line Wednesday. We love to hear from you. Right now, we've got Roger calling from Allentown. Hi, Roger. You have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. I have two items I'd like to share with you and your audience. They're both, the first one especially important, regarding the excellent Dr. Jerome Corsi, and the second being Joseph Farah's new book entitled None of the Above. Now, on the first, this is kind of a too rare opportunity here to kill three or four birds with one stone, and simultaneously illustrate the intellectual and constitutional and liberal, that is, bankruptcy of that fake, fraud, phony conservative media. And what's interesting here is Dr. Jerome Corsi may be soon working his way to becoming persona non grata with these frauds over the matter. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. My apologies. Can you put me on hold, Dr. Stan?
All right, fine. We'll just put Roger on hold here, and we're going to have another caller. We'll get back to Roger in just a minute. Right now, we have Mark. Hi, Mark. Where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, Dr. Stan. I'm calling from Florence, Oregon. How
okay,
you doing?
Good to have you with us.
Oh, good to be with you, Dr. Stan. You know, just recently in the program a few minutes ago, someone had mentioned about the Antichrist appearing or claiming himself to be as Jesus Christ.
Right. And certainly this is what Reverend Moon does. And there's several several people actually claim today that they are the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. And whoever does get to be the Antichrist then would be probably one of these same people who are currently actually claiming to be Jesus Christ.
Either that or maybe somebody else. We don't know who it is. We know that they claim that Maitreya is the Messiah, but certainly Maitreya is the occultist, the New Age version of this. So, but we're told in the latter days there'll be many people who come claiming to be Christ. And they'll say, I'm the Christ, or I'm the Christ, but of course none of them will be. They're all false messiahs.
Yes. As far as the Antichrist goes, Dr. Stan, there was a fellow who was interviewed several times. The most recent time has probably been a year since I've heard an interview of him on a radio show that you're very well aware of. A lot of times radio hosts don't like you to say the name of another show. And it's not a per se Christian show, so I won't say that.
All right.
But that's basically irrelevant, except they do have a vast audience. I think they've got the largest nighttime audience Monday through Friday and on the weekends. But at any rate, this individual's name is Stuart Sverdlow. It's a Russian name. He's descended from Russian royalty. And he has much knowledge. He's been a participant in, not at the managerial level, but more at the level of people who they influence, of the Montauk Project. And you're probably familiar with that phrase, the Montauk Project.
Right, this is one of the mind control programs.
Yes. And he said during the interview, Dr. Stan, that actually with holographic imaging of a laser category, laser holographic imaging transmitted through a satellite or satellites, that they are planning, in and around the Montauk Project, they have put together a program with current technology where they can actually mimic or make the appearance of who most people would think would be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we're told, of course, that people all around the world will see him descending from the sky. Now, how could that be done other than with some sort
right.
of hologram? And I believe that they have the capacity to do anything they want to, and so many people will be gullible, and unless they understand what's going on in the spiritual nature, they will, of course, be taken in.
Yes, and he said that this program, Montauk-related program, had a name, and that name is Project Bluebeam.
Right.
Project Bluebeam. Have you heard of that, Dr. Stan?
Yes, I have.
And I can give his website, but you can get in touch with him if you want to have him as a guest perhaps sometime. I wasn't sure, but I can give it off the air.
All right, fine. I'll just put you on hold, and you can talk to our producer. How's
okay, that? Well, I appreciate all the time, Dr. Stan. God bless you. Great show.
Thanks very much. Okay, that was Mark calling from Florence, Oregon, and let's see if we can put him on hold. We got him on hold, and right now we're going to go back to Roger. Hi, Roger. Roger, are you there? Well, let's see. I didn't do that quite right, I guess, in some way. I'm going to ask my I'm going to ask my producer to pick up line two. So I'm going to try to put line two on hold, and then we're going to see if we can get onto line one. I'll ask my producer to make sure that I can, if he'll pass line one through to me. It gets a little complicated here. Anyway, of course, Roger, if you're out there listening, why don't you call right back in again? If you hang up, call back in again. We'll try to get to you. And we're just having all sorts of problems. So, it gets a little complicated here. There we are. Let's see if this is Roger. Hi, is this Roger?
Yes, thanks, Dr. Stanton. My frog and I apologized for a few minutes ago.
All right, fine. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We've got Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Roger, go right ahead.
Yes, thanks, Dr. Stan. In the warfare in the marketplace of ideas, I think it's very important that the listeners follow through and so clearly and easily illustrate the bankruptcy of this fake conservative media with the event of Dr. Jerome Corsi being perhaps soon rendered persona non grata on these shows. Now, this is in spite of the fact that he's now been over a week, I guess, number one on the New York Times bestseller list. That was great, the comment he made a few days ago on your show when you said, well, I'm not crazy about John McCain either, and when, of course, he followed up saying, well, if he gets elected, then we'll have him impeached. That'll be my next book. That was great.
And well, of course, Jerome Corsi has come out and said he's in favor of none of the above. So certainly that is
that
take off on Joseph Farah. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to get to that. But Now, on Jerome Corsi, this is over the matter of Corsi coming out on Alex Jones and perhaps a few other shows and stating that he looked into the research of, say, Professor Jim Fetzer, I believe, of 911 Scholars for Truth, etc. And he says, well, I'm not any expert on the physical sciences, but I know he's right when he says about these very particular microspheres of iron and sulfur, iron, molybdenum, whatever they are exactly, and that the only known way to produce these, or not, perhaps not the only known way, but is the use of thermite or other such cutting charges, and that it's impossible to produce these.
Roger, you're confusing the audience. You're talking about, of course, coming down of the Twin Towers, Fletcher has said that that they believe, of course, that the Twin Towers were possibly brought down by thermite. Certainly that's what Dr. Stephen Jones of Brigham Young University has been talking about. There are certain disagreements as to how that came down. There's no question that it did not come down the way we've been told. If it had, they wouldn't, of course, they would have allowed people to investigate the rubble there, the steel. And then, of course, what happened to all the cement blocks there?
Yeah.
I mean, what happened to the cement floor? They would have been chunks of cement instead of it all being vaporized. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. All right, Roger, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, okay. So anyway, and that was, of course, from analysis on the dust from the Twin Towers collapse. And now, of course, Jerome Corsi has come out in favor of this interpretation, and certainly, you know, jet fuel is no way to produce these very particular microspheres of iron, etc. And so now he's been labeled, you know, kookified by the likes of Bill O'Reilly and a few others, perhaps. And as I had heard, G. Gordon Liddy no sooner gets done applauding Jerome Corsi's meticulous research, and then he challenged him regarding, you know, this interpretation. And Jerome Corsi maybe sort of backpedaled a little bit, or let's say, carefully phrased his response to G. Gordon Liddy's challenge. So I don't know that he necessarily backpedaled.
Okay, what did you want? What was the point you wanted to make there?
Well, the point is there's no in the screened and triple filtered world of fake conservative talk radio, there's no room even to have these ideas heard, and this is why it's so important to clearly illustrate this is why, you know, you can listen to these shows for over a year, let's say, and not hear one remark that would even threaten to undermine the validation of the Federal Reserve System, for example, or anything remotely resembling any rigorous scholarship regarding the collapse of the Twin Towers, etc.
Well, that's why, of course, Roger, people should be listening to Alex Jones, they should be listening to Joyce Riley, they should be listening to Jeff Rentz and Zach Blood and Dr. Stan, and certainly Butch Paul and a few of the others who I think are very reliable trying to get the truth out. But you're absolutely right. The establishment conservatives, and of course for our listeners, they must understand that the establishment has both conservatives and liberals. They always have a controlled opposition. You always control both sides of the discussion, so the truth can never come out. And that's really what's going on, and that's what has happened in the past. That's what's happening today. Okay, now, do you have another point you wanted to make before we let you go?
Yeah, now we've been listening to Jerome Corsi for several years and more on excellent shows like yours, but only maybe in the last 6 months have we heard hardly anything of Jerome Corsi on these controlled paradigm conservative shows, and just in the last month or so, more so, because of the release of the two articles that he co-authored, and then now the book based on the research on just regarding his book more recently, Obama Nation, and so it's just they basically just have him on, you know, because it's convenient to either bashing Obama or boosting McCain or both, you know, and so you know they should have had if they were of your quality, they would have had him on for, you know, several years. It's not like they didn't know he didn't exist. He was just, you know, he was just really of too high a quality for these shows is basically what it amounts to. Now, lastly, on Joseph Sauer's show, or rather his new book, None of the Above, I heard him on with Mike Savage last night. This was really funny and entertaining. The thesis of his book is how vitally important it is to not vote for either of the two major party candidates. And he draws a parallel between, just think, if the conservatives had fallen for Gerald Ford when he was running against Carter, in other words, if Carter had not won at the time and Gerald Ford had gotten in, then...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I mean, Roger is just sort of finishing up. What were you going to say? Go ahead.
In Justice Bauer's new book, None of the Above, he was on with Savage last night, the thesis partly being that if Republicans had fallen for voting for Gerald Ford way back when he was running against Jimmy Carter, if Carter had not won but Gerald Ford did, then likely the Reagan Revolution of the next term or so would quite possibly never have happened. And just think of the pickle we had been in, we could well have been in if Reagan did not take the presidency. Oh, and then he pointed out that John McCain had also voted to confirm Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and of course her behavior and opinions on the court were totally predictable to anyone with a half a brain or better. And so by the time it's all done, Michael Savage has turned around and saying, I didn't realize how bad it was. I think I may go back to sitting on the fence.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much for calling. And that was Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. And our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'd love to hear from you. Well, it's really very, very interesting that we've seen over this last couple of weeks just a precipitous fall in the price of gold and silver and platinum on the precious metals exchange. But what is really so interesting about the whole story is go out and try to buy gold and silver at the prices that they're quoting, and of course you can't buy it. It's just not available. Sort of reminds me of an old story about the fellow went into a butcher's shop and he said he wanted to buy 2 pounds of steak, and they asked what it was, and the fellow said, "Why, it's $3 a pound." And the fellow says, "That's ridiculous. You know, I can get it for $1 a pound across the street." And the man says, "Well, why don't you go over there and buy it for $1 a pound?" And the fellow says, "We don't have any." And, of course, that's exactly what's happening in the commodity market today. They're telling you that the price of gold is, I think, it was got down to $7.75. The price of silver down to $13, or even less than that. I think it got actually down to about $12.50, $12.75 an ounce. But the trouble is there isn't any. The federal government has stopped minting silver coins. They've stopped minting gold coins. The supplies out there are very, very limited. And they're very, very difficult to come by. So they can quote all they want to on the commodity market. That's for your mind, but they're playing games with your mind. But the reality is, you go out onto the markets, you call your coin dealer, try to get a silver at $13 an ounce, and they're going to want a premium of $3 or $4 an ounce for every silver coin that you buy, of 1 ounce silver coin, or every American Eagle. Before, you could buy it just at the spot price of silver, or the most, 75 cents to a dollar above that, and now, of course, it's $3 or $4 in many instances above the spot price. So everything has to do with your perception. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, we are in real economic problems, and the critical question is, how long are they going to be able to hold this house of cards together? Because believe me, a cyclone is approaching, and when you're in a house of cards and there's a cyclone approaching, why, you better start looking for cover. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You must understand that the price of gold and silver has nothing to do with the market availability. It has to do with manipulation. It has to do, of course, with playing games with your mind and giving you an impression that they do the same thing with the stock market. One day they run up the price of the stock market. The next day they run down the price of the stock market. And then they run it down for a couple of days, and then they run it up for a couple of days, and they're doing the same thing with the commodities, and it is all being done by the Working Group on Financial Markets, which is an appendage of the government made up of the Secretary of Treasury, and of course the head of the Federal Reserve Board and a couple of other entities, big banks, working together to manipulate the stock market. Now, if you doubt that this is really going on, we'd hope that many of you will go up on the Internet and Google in Working Group on Financial Markets. Working Group on Financial Markets. You'll find it there. You'll find it referred to as the Plunge Protection Team. It was established under the Reagan administration to bring order to the market so that they could not simply break loose. But the whole idea was not you were going to continually manipulate the market. Because, of course, we have to have free and open markets if we're going to have a free, open society, a monetary system. Way it was intended. Today, of course, it's being used on almost a daily basis. And, of course, they're trying to keep the markets up until after the elections. They want you to be fat, dumb, and happy. The last thing they would want you to do is either sit at home or maybe vote for a candidate who really believed in America. We'll be back. Give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and Chris, what would you like to talk about? Would you like to talk about what's going on over in the Caucasus area, over in what they refer to as Eurasia, which is just in Georgia, which is just north of Turkey, along the border of the Black Sea there, and of course, basically what you're seeing is it's a surrogate war. Georgia is the surrogate of the United States, and Russia, of course, is looking after its own interests. But remember, the United States has been funding Russia going all the way back to 1918. And if you have not yet, of course, gone into the background with our pamphlet entitled The Communist-Capitalist Alliance, a phrase that was used by Solzhenitsyn, and we actually quote extensively from Solzhenitsyn and Professor Sutton and give you the background of actually how the Soviet Union has been financed by people here in the United States since 1918, and then, of course, since the supposed demise of the Soviet Union in 1992. Why, it was then, of course, that we began going in and trying to build up their economy again, because, of course, Russia, the Soviet Union never imploded. I mean, it was the so-called revolution they had, and Yeltsin standing on the tank, you know, and all the signs there in English, they were all for the American public. I mean, how many Russian revolutions do you think there have been where they have big signs in English so that the English television cameras can watch them? When was the last time you saw a revolution where they had live television and you could watch it in living color? And, of course, they even at one point had brought in somebody from the military. Yeltsin got them up in the tank with him, and he was talking to the this military officer who said, "Do you got nothing to worry about? We're set over here. They didn't give us any ammunition for our guns, so we're not going to try to put down this revolution." It was as phony as a $3 bill. They wanted this phony revolution so that now, of course, America would be justified going in and helping Russia become one of the major economic powers in the world, and that's exactly what's happened today. Why Russia has almost $500 billion in reserves. America has no reserves. We're the biggest debtor nation in the world. Russia still has its nuclear weapons and its chemical and biological weapons. Russia is the largest exporter of natural gas in the world. Russia is the second largest exporter of oil in the world. Who built the pipelines, who, of course, drilled the wells? Why, you did, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations. You created the best enemy that money could buy. And we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Wednesday. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we were simply talking about what's going on over in Georgia. And, of course, this very, very phony war. And it's a phony war because, of course, we're financing both sides, as always we have. First of all, why we created Russia in 1918, we financed it. If you've never read the material put out by Professor Sutton when he was at the Hoover Institute, he wrote a three-volume series called Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development. Was it accurate? Well, if you read Zygmunt Brzezinski's book written in 1970 entitled Between Two Ages, America and the Technotronic Age, Zygmunt Brzezinski, certainly one of the most powerful men in the world today, certainly an agent of the Rockefellers, the man who organized the Trilateral Commission, the man who was the National Security Advisor to Carter, who, of course, turned the Panama Canal over to the communists, who was there when Saddam Hussein came to power in Iraq. And, of course, for those of you who don't know, Saddam Hussein had worked for the CIA for many years in the 1950s. And if you doubt that, we've got books written many years ago that go into that. It was Zygmunt Brzezinski, of course, who presided over the revolution in Iran in 1979 that led to the Ayatollahs taking over. And we actually brought the Ayatollahs to power. It was the CIA that brought the Ayatollahs to power in 1979. And then, of course, it was Zygmunt Brzezinski who actually was responsible, and he has actually admitted this, and you can read a book called Unholy Wars by James Cooley, a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. That's Unholy Wars. But he actually quotes Zygmunt Brzezinski, and you'll find the quotation in my newsletter, where Zygmunt Brzezinski admitted he precipitated the Afghan War, that war that lasted for 10 years, and then was used as a justification for recruiting Islamic warriors throughout the world. And then, of course, these later became al-Qaeda and the cadre of the Taliban. So basically, the whole thing is contrived. But Zygmunt Brzezinski, in his book Between Two Ages, talks about Professor Sutton's work, Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development. Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development. It was published by the Hoover Institute. You can get it on Amazon, either in new or used form. Going into how the West had built up the military potential of the communists. And that's, of course, covered in the pamphlet on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. But, of course, after Professor Sutton died maybe 4 or 5 years ago, my little pamphlet, The Communist-Capitalist Alliance, points out that how it was American corporations that drilled the oil wells for the Russians, drilled the natural gas wells for the Russians, actually built the pipelines for the Russians to make them certainly this dominant force in the world today. And, of course, their money that they're getting from us being used up, build up their military. But don't feel bad. Of course, we build up the military of the Georgians as well. And we have our military over there. We have our mercenaries over there. They're working in conjunction with the Israelis, who have about 1,000 personnel over there, stationed there, training the Georgian troops to attack. And it was the Georgian troops that attacked Ostasia, south of Ostasia, of course, this province. And then, of course, the Russians retaliated. And then we accused the Russians of aggression after it was the Georgian troops, at the behest of our government, that attacked South Ossetia. Nothing as it appears to be. And you better get some understanding of what's going on, because I fear this will be the nucleus, the beginning of World War III. And ladies and gentlemen, this war is not going to be fought simply over in Georgia and in the Near East and the Middle East. Because, of course, with intercontinental ballistic missiles, I fear that we will see the same devastation in America that we have wrought in Iraq and Afghanistan today. And if God is just, his justice will not sleep forever. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, here in the Central Coast of California. We'd love to hear from you. Right now we have Jack calling in from Michigan. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan. That's quite a synopsis you just gave there.
Well, of course, you always finance both sides. How are you going to get the war going unless you finance both sides?
Yeah, that's right. Historically, that goes way back in time. to the kings of Europe.
No, but of course, in modern times, I mean, where did Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933? But 1938, 5 years later, he was challenging the West. 1939, the Second World War began. Where did he get his military wherewithal? Why, we have a letter, which I'll make available to everybody. Anybody would like to see a copy of it, from the American ambassador to Germany during that period, 1936. He's writing to Colonel House in 1936 saying, why are American corporations building up the military potential of Germany? Nobody here wants a war, and yet they're doing everything they can to prepare for a war, and there are no profits to be made. There are no profits to be made. Why are the 100 American corporations in Germany, you know, suddenly building up the military potential that can lead to another war, which nobody wants? And, of course, the tragedy is that most people don't understand. We built up Adolf Hitler. That's covered in a wonderful book called The Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, which we carry. It's also covered in Charles Hingham's book, Trading with the Enemy, which we don't carry, but which is available on the Internet. But the American people must never understand that, not only before, but during the Second World War, American corporations were providing the war material that was being used by the Germans to kill American soldiers. That's a treasonous act, but then if you don't know about it, I think one of the only few people who's ever indicted, and that was for a very minor thing, was a man named Prescott Bush, the grandfather of our current president. But anyway, go ahead, Jack. What did you want to say?
Ziggy Brzezinski. He also authored a book, The Grand Chessboard.
Right, but 1997.
So, you mentioned that he took the credit, and it was quoted by John Cooley on Holy Wars.
Right.
And so, I've been knocking on doors wherever I see the Osama Barack Obama sign. I go up and knock, and I ask the homeowner if they're aware of the fact that the Trilateral Commission, which I refer to as an elitist secret society organization, think tank, and I bring up Brzezinski and their inverted fractured cross with 666 at the three points of that inverted fractured cross. And then I bring up some of the facts that you so eloquently recite, either midstream in the process, or sometimes they let me finish, but then interrupt abruptly and say, that's all this conspiracy wacko nonsense. You know, you've been reading, all these conspiracy books or something. And I said, well, what's conspiratorial when those in these key positions in these elitist think tanks, they record these facts in their own writings, in their own publications. You know, but these people are so brainwashed, so programmed, and it's like at the Nuremberg War Trial, Goebbels or Goering said, well, you just repeat the lies over and over, and the sheeple will believe and regurgitate.
Right.
So
that was Goebbels.
Okay, so it continues, and so all I can do is keep forging ahead and striking conversations whenever possible, and referring Dr. Stan every day when I'm out in my neighborhood. As I've mentioned numerous times, it's incumbent upon us, as you have eloquently and righteously stated, those of us who understand these matters, we become accomplices when we fail. When we fail to seek to amend these problems. So,
well, what I'd suggest you do, of course, Jack, is I say, well, look, if you don't believe the Trilateral Commission exists, and you don't believe their logo is a three sixes joined together in the middle by an upside down broken cross, why don't you go to the website trilateral.org? Why did you, if you don't believe that the Bilderbergers exists and meets on a regular basis, and of course there's totally suppressed information here in the United States. Why don't you go up on the website and internet and just Google in Bilderbergers, and all sorts of articles. Everybody in the world knows about the Bilderbergers except the American people. Everybody knows about these conspiratorial organizations like the Club of Rome. Did you know that the Council on Foreign Relations is a front for a secret society? Get on the internet. Prove me wrong. And if you can't, then you better do something, because you're going to lose everything you have, perhaps your family and perhaps your life. Be sure, absolutely certain, that you have not been misled by the people who control the media here in the United States. Get on the internet. Challenge them. They go down to the library. They can do it. Hey, we're just about out of time, Jack. Do you have a question or comment before I let you go?
Just to buttress what you said, I refer them to your website, because I know you have the monthly newsletters, I know you have the DVDs, and I figure with a man of your credentials and your scholarly background, that tends to carry the day with these people.
All right, fine. And of course, you can ask them to look not only at our videos, but our other video section, and flatterer gets you almost anything, Jack. Thanks so much. God bless. Bye bye. And let's go to Michael, who's calling from Fort Worth. Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm getting real poor shortwave reception here tonight, so I can't hardly hear. I'd need to call to hear your program.
But okay, fine.
I listened the other night you had, or the other day you had Jerome Corsi on. And
right.
It didn't seem to be the level of scholarship and integrity that I'd expect from a Harvard PhD or from Radio Liberty. But about the same day, GCN had an article posted regarding the longtime Arizona Mafia connections of John McCain.
Right.
And I'm wondering if you could get an interview with that author. So
you'd have to give me his telephone number or give me his name.
I'll look that up. I didn't, but...
I think you have to understand, I don't back McCain, I don't back Obama. They're all controlled by the same people. It's as phony as a $3 bill.
I agree with you, and I wouldn't vote for either one of them, but I think, it would be awful if we had a liquor distributor mafia in control of the government. The price of Bud might go to $10 a bottle.
Oh my goodness, what a terrible thing.
Anyway. That'd be terrible for all of us.
But I enjoyed that interview with that.
I'll get the name of the guy, and I think he's a regular blogger or something like that. And
all right, fine, you get that and see if you can give me a telephone number. We'd be glad to talk to him. I really enjoyed my interview with Jerome Corsi. I'm sorry you didn't, but anyway, I appreciate you calling, Michael, and
okay,
please get the information.
Thank you,
for
Dr.
me.
And keep up the good work. I enjoy you when I can hear you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Fine. Let's go to Joseph, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm glad that I was able to get in before you were off the air.
Right.
For this evening. I'm a friend of Susan's, who's a one of your fans.
Right.
And we're here in Santa Cruz.
Well, I appreciate the fact you're listening, and I hope you're getting the other people here in Santa Cruz to listen as well.
Well, what we'd like to tell people is that this coming Monday, September the 1st, that's a Labor Day, I understand that, but if anybody's in town in the Capitola area, we're going to be showing a free film called The Future of Food.
The Future of Food, and we're going to be showing it.
We're going to be showing at the Santa Cruz Title Company Community Room at 1955 41st Avenue. It's between Starbucks and Ross at the Capitola Mall.
Right, and it's just on the corner there. That's a great spot. And
plenty of parking. And
what are you going to tell people about the future of food?
Well, it's an in-depth investigation into the disturbing truth behind unlabeled, patented, genetically engineered foods that have quietly been filling our grocery store shelves for our last decade or so.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it, Joseph, because there's a great deal to be feared from these genetically modified foods. The people of Europe refuse to allow them. Certainly the propaganda here in America is there's just another variation of food, just like, we've been breeding food for years, and it's not. They're putting molecules in there, genes in there, and of course they're altering the very substance of our food. And if you look at the studies, which of course nobody ever does, but also we carry a wonderful book called Genetic Roulette.
They've actually fed some of these genetically modified foods to rats in laboratories, and when the rats die, they decide that it's probably not going to make it to the store, you know.
Yeah, that's
a pretty poor criteria for...
I share your concern. I think they're destroying the value of our food. Not only that, but they're going to have terrible physical consequences.
That's just for the children. And by the way, The Future of Food is a film that's very suitable for children, so everybody's welcome to come. We've got seating for 80, and it's free to anybody who wants to come. We've got plenty of information there. We're a bunch of...
Give us the date. That's September the 1st?
September the 1st at 8 p.m.
At 8 p.m., and once again, where is it going to be at?
It's going to be at the Santa Cruz Title Company Community Room at 1955 41st Avenue, right there by Starbucks and Ross and the Capitola Mall.
All right. There's a bank there on the corner, and there's plenty of good parking.
Plenty.
God bless. Thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Steve, who's calling from Illinois. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, my friend.
Okay, what can we do for you? Do you have a question or comment?
Well, just a couple unfortunate facts I wanted to run by you and the audience. This is good and bad, disheartening and heartening, that our Congress only gets 16% approval rating. I don't believe it's that high. I think people, without knowing the discerning facts that you recite, and I'd love to hear you talk when you get going, I get lazy and don't want to call in. I just want to hear you rattle off these facts now for people and myself. But when it's that bad, I mean, people, we're almost preaching to the choir now. They know something's bad, it is a myth, and they're not quite sure what it is. And, you know, I got that Jim guy that's on MSNBC, stock guy, when he first was coming.
You're talking about Kramer now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
And I got him to admit on a local yokel talk show that when he first was coming on to get everybody interested in him, that is it true, Jim Cramer, that it takes 7 losers for 1 winner in the stock market? He hauled around just a bit and said, I might quibble with the exact percentage, but he said somewhere in thereabouts. So, you see, the stock market's a musical chair thing. It's been rigged from the word go. And they can't even call themselves capitalist free markets anymore. We have to bail them out with the socialized debt. And that, I don't know what these people are anymore in this country. And this Congress is getting the disapproval rating that it has historically. And I guess we're just waiting. They're just adding to our debt, which is $55 trillion, according to Mr. Paul. And so really, I mean, most of the people know something's definitely not right, but they don't know what to do about it.
Well, of course, our job is to make them understand what's going on and understand not only what's happening fiscally, but what's happening spiritually to our nation, because this is truly a spiritual battle. We'll be right back in just a moment. Okay, Steve, go right ahead.
Yeah, and so I'm... I'm just wondering if we aren't maybe, you know, while Rome burns, fiddling away here. I don't really see much that we can do other than tell this Congress, you got about 24 hours to leave town, boys, summarily, and get out of town, because they're not working for us anymore. I mean, it's a war on our citizenry.
Well, Steve, first of all, they're not going to get out of town. They're not going to leave. Of course, they've got a gravy train there. I mean, would you want to give up a comfort job like they have with the prestige and all the money and all the perks and all the bribes they can take? And the power corrupts, and power corrupts those congressmen because they've compromised their principles for advantage. But what can we do? And that's the big question. And the biggest thing that we can do is try to convince the majority of the American people. Now, it doesn't do any good if you're an Obama supporter to tell you what a terrible guy Obama is. What you want to do is try to ask people questions and try to get them to think and ask them questions that they don't have the answers to and you do have the answers to. How do you feel about the war in the Middle East? Do you think that we should be fighting there? Why is it then, if the majority of the American people, over 75% of them, disagree with the war and we elect the Democrats, that nothing happens in 2006, the majority of the people vote for the Democrats, and the war continues? Why didn't the Democrats do anything? Ask them the questions, and once they start to think, then you give them the answers. Don't you really understand that the leadership of both parties is controlled by the same people? It always has been. That's why the foreign and domestic policies never change. And quote things like what we do from Professor Quigley, pages 1247, 1248 of his book, where he tells you we need two political parties that are essentially the same, so that the people can vote the scoundrels out every 4 years, but the foreign and domestic policies remain the same. Give them the sources of reference. Don't tell them too much. And once they begin to think, they'll be joining us. And that's the only way we're going to be able to turn this around. That, and of course, pray to God for his mercy on this nation.
Amen to that. And you know, you can almost fight with these people. I can't believe that they hold such allegiance to these parties and actually believe what they're... I just... That's all.
No, Steve, don't get discouraged. It is easy to get discouraged, but remember, we're involved in the spiritual battle. There's a spiritual blindness out there. Our job is to pierce the darkness, and that's all we can do. Keep trying, keep your chin up, and keep your confidence in the Lord. I'm going to have to let you go. We're out of time.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We hope you enjoyed the Open Line program, and we always look forward to your calls on Wednesday evening, Open Line. And, of course, this is the time I need to mention to our, many of our listeners that we're having an opportunity to start doing an afternoon program, Drive Time in Spokane, Washington. And certainly we're trying to raise the funds so we can put that on. We'll be starting the 1st of September, God willing. So if you live in the Washington area and you'd like to have us there every afternoon and then on a weekend program in addition to the program we already do in that region, and you're in a position to help us, and I know many people are not. Many people are really beginning to hurt, and it's going to get a lot worse. But what we have to do is reach as many people as we can in the allotted time. So if you're in a position to help us and you'd like to contribute to our effort to get on to the station in Spokane, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we'll be on from 4 to 5 in the major Christian station there. It has the second largest listening audience in Spokane at that time, at least, and by one arbitron of rating that I saw. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And we, of course, have an opportunity to get on several other stations, but we have to, of course, have that effort financed before we make the commitment. We're just about there, as Spokane is concerned. If you are in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we're just going to gradually increase our audience. And, of course, we're having an effect, we know. And we'll have more of an effect. If you're in a position to help and you can, we'd certainly appreciate it. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And then, of course, we certainly want to give you some the ammunition that you need to reach others. I think probably one of the best sources of information on what's going on is my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the CD from us. You can get the video. And then, of course, you can get the book. They're all essentially the same story, only the book gives you all of the sources of reference where you can actually look it up, and, of course, where people can check out and find if it's really true. And, of course, if you don't have the funds, why, you can go up to our webpage at radioliberty.com, scroll down to videos, scroll through the videos to the Brotherhood of Darkness, and then sit there for 2 hours and watch the video there on your television screen. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get our talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus that goes with that. And remember, if you get the material from us and you want to duplicate it, you have our permission to do it. As long as you're not doing it at a profit, we have you our permission to distribute it, because we want to get the information out. The Forbidden Secret is so important because it takes you into the spirits of forces that work behind the scenes, within the shadows, towards the destruction of America and the destruction of our heritage, our future, our freedom. Then, of course, we also have one called the Secret Knowledge. That's the Secret Knowledge. We recommend that. Our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus goes with that. But we have really dozens of DVDs and videos. Certainly one of my favorites is the Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. That's the Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. And it's very professionally done. When it was put out by our friend Chris Pinto, it received a number of international awards as Best Documentary of the Year. And then, of course, the sequel to that, Riddles in Stone, the Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. You'll see the things there that Tex Mars talks about in his book, The Mysterious Monuments. You'll actually see them in living color, and he did a great job. Chris Pinto did a great job of that, and interviewing Masons who openly tell you, you know, 50 years ago, we couldn't have talked about these things. We can talk about them now. Why can we talk about them now? Because, of course, today they feel that they're just about ready to impose their one-world dictatorship, their new world order, their new world religion, and, of course, the new world leader. And they feel that most people will not object. They do not understand the true spiritual significance of the forces they've engaged. Because I believe our God is powerful enough, one of these days he's going to intervene. Reminds me of that bumper sticker that says, "The Lord's coming soon," and boy, is he mad. Well, our job is to get the truth out, but the battle in the final analysis is the Lord's. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. David Kennedy, who is a dentist, who's retired, and devoting a great deal of his time to trying to get the truth out about the dangers of fluoride, the dangers of mercury. And, of course, both of those things are supported by the dentists. The dentists support water fluoridation. They support certainly using mercury fillings. They call them silver fillings. It's really not. They're mercury fillings, 50% mercury. They constantly are venting mercury, even after many, many years in place, constantly venting mercury into your system in toxic levels. Well, this evening I'd asked Dr. Kennedy to come on. I had a email from one of our listeners in the Carmel area who said he'd just spent something like $10,000 to have a number of his mercury fillings taken out and having them replaced with composite fillings. And then he was reading about, he had heard one of our programs with Dr. Kennedy about the fact that they were adding fluoride to the composite material they're putting in fillings. So I called Dr. Kennedy and asked him about that. And he said, yes, in certain of our material that is used in our composite fillings, they've added fluoride with the idea that the fluoride there would, of course, continue to give a low-dose fluoride in the mouth that would help to prevent cavities and help to maintain the integrity of our teeth. Now, scientific studies do not validate that this is the case. I mean, the only reason that fluoride works is because, in my estimation, is because it kills bacteria. And it kills bacteria that cause the cavities, but of course what it does in the meantime, it poisons you. And fluoride is one of the deadliest poisons we know. There is no safe level of fluoride. And they're putting it in our cavities to protect us. Well, you know, when I heard that, you know, I just found this was so incredible. And most people, I suspect most dentists, don't even know that this is going on. David, when did they start putting the fluoride in the composite that the dentists are putting in to replace the toxic mercury fillings with toxic fluoride fillings?
Dr. Stan, I know it was more than 10 years ago, because when I was still in practice before the turn of the century, I continually had to inquire of manufacturers whether they'd changed the formula of their filling material. I had the materials that I used in my office assayed and analyzed by Clifford Laboratories to determine that they were they contained a minimum or no known toxic materials. And that doesn't mean something won't pop up tomorrow, but at least at the time we put them in, they were considered reasonably safe. The problem is that manufacturers are allowed to change the formula anytime they feel like it. You know, if the wind blows to the north or the south, they can change the formula, and that you as the dentist are not allowed to know what's in the material because it is a proprietary information. I think this is utterly insane.
Well, of course it is, especially when we're talking about putting fluoride, a deadly poison. You can
just
poison your rats with it, you could kill it, you could use it for insecticide.
Not just fluoride, it's beryllium. Some of them put beryllium in them, some of them have formaldehyde in them. There's just a whole host of things that I wouldn't want implanted in my tooth.
Well, of course, the thing is, do you think the average dentist has any idea what's going on?
No. They're indoctrinated. They're brainwashed in dental school, where they have to genuflect in the direction of the yo at the front of the class. And if they can't memorize what that fellow said, they don't pass. And so, well, 99.9% of the dentists pass.
Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy. What a surprise it is to find out that these expensive fillings they're putting in are laden with fluoride. So you go ahead and pick up the story there. What's the rationale of putting the fluoride in the dental fillings?
Well, it has to do with the dentist's 60 year long love of poisonous materials to treat and prevent tooth decay. They use mercury in the filling, so fluoride is less toxic than mercury, so why not use some fluoride too? Is it iodine actually does prevent tooth decay? Why don't they use that? There's no patent on iodine, so that there are no lobbyists going around telling you how good it is to have iodine in your teeth, or, you know, to kill the germs that are causing the tooth decay. So they don't actually pay attention to what the science has said. They basically go to meetings where they get you know free hors d'oeuvres and plenty of samples, and you know they do what the yo at the front of the class said. The fact that the yo at the front of the class can't discuss in a cogent fashion why they recommend this or that or one thing or another should be of concern to everyone in this country. But the dental schools are controlled by, accredited by, the American Dental Association, who make their money from both dentists and from the manufacturers. That's a conflict of interest. If I made my money as an orthopedic surgeon, both from the manufacturers and by cutting on knees and joints, that would be a conflict of interest. We would call it unethical. That is the name of the game in dentistry, is that they're using the trade association to indoctrinate the profession. And they've done a very good job of it. You can't find one out of 100 dentists that can discuss cogently what the problems are with mercury and fluoride. Some of more than 50% of dentists don't use mercury. But when you ask them why they don't use mercury, well, everybody coming in my office told me they didn't want it. Well, you know, like if you ran a filling station and everybody came in and said, I want diesel, well, you'd provide diesel. You may not know whether diesel is any good or not. You would just be a provider, and that's what they consider themselves. They provide the consumer what the consumer has the intelligence to ask for.
And I think it's really amazing that so many people today are saying we don't want the mercury fillings, which means that your message and the message we've been putting out is having an impact, isn't it?
It certainly is, and it, you know, but in the New England, in California, you know, we live in a microcosm, Dr. Stan, because there was the Zogby poll in New England where they went down the street and they stuck a microphone in people's face.
Hold that thought, David. Okay. We're going to bring our other stations back on board, and I want to hear people, our listeners, hear what you have to say. It would be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy, and we're certainly talking about the subject. Do you realize that a lot of composite fillings that you had put in to replace your mercury fillings, they, of course, contain fluoride, and they put that in, and it's a known toxin. You use it to poison rats. You use it to kill bacteria. It is a lethal substance, and yet, of course, they're putting it into fillings with the idea it's going to help your teeth. What we were simply talking about was the fact that many dentists today do not use mercury fillings because people come in and say, we don't want mercury fillings. And there was a recent Zogby poll, and what did that Zogby poll show, David?
In New England, they surveyed the population, and they said, can you list the ingredients in a silver amalgam filling? And more than 75% of the people did not list mercury as one of the ingredients and did not even know that mercury was in the filling. So that's consumer deception, that the dentists are engaged in a 150-year-long consumer deception. They call these things amalgam or silver. A friend of mine, granddaughter, went to the dentist recently, and her mom said, you know, I don't want any mercury fillings. And the dentist said, for you, Miss Hammerstrand, I'll be sure that you get pure silver. Well, that's a pure lie, because silver melts at 2,000 degrees. If the girl came back with all the hair missing off her forehead and a big burned hole in her jaw, then he'd use silver. They didn't use silver. They used mercury, quicksilver. So they just lied to a person that was concerned about their daughter. I think that's unconscionable. What do you do with somebody like that?
You sue him.
Punish him? How do you punish him?
You sue him, and I hate to do something like that, but you have to. He has to be honest, and he can say, well, it's quicksilver. I said it was silver. I just didn't mention it was quicksilver, which, of course, is a word for mercury. Well, I think that there are an awful lot of people, though, today who are going to their dentist and saying they don't want their mercury fillings. Unfortunately, of course, what's happening is many people are going to their dentist and saying, I want my fillings out. The dentist who does not know what he's doing and doesn't know the danger of the toxicity of mercury takes them out, and these people end up with mercury toxicity. They can destroy their lives.
It has destroyed lives, and even the removal of a mercury filling can destroy a life. Look, here's a scenario. Is it you go to the dentist when you're 5 years old, and the dentist lies to you and says, I'll give you the silver filling, and then you go back when you're 10 years old and you get another one in 12 and 14, and so by the time you're 30, 40 years old, you got a whole mouthful of mercury fillings. And then one day or another, you listen to the Stan Monteith program, and you hear that these silver fillings are not really silver. There's only 30-35% silver in them, and the rest of it's mercury. 50-60% of it's mercury. When I started in dental school in 67, I was taught to put in 60% mercury. Some of those fillings are still out there leaking the mercury. So anyway, 50% is a minimum. Mercury is in those fillings. So you say, oh, gee, I don't think that's a good idea. We've lost all the thermometers and all the thermostats and everything, and they're telling us mercury in the tuna fish are bad, so I better go down to the dentist and get those mercury fillings out. And so you go back to the same dentist that put them in and say, yeah, I'd sure like to have these mercury fillings drilled out. And he said, sure, you got any money? And they said, yeah, I got lots of money. And he said, fine, you know, just cough up the money and we'll have a seat. And they sit there and they grind these fillings up. And in grinding these fillings out, if you don't do what are called, by OSHA, engineering controls, where you put a huge vacuum next to it, blow cold water at it all the time to keep it cool, use a burr instead of a diamond, if you don't do those things, a huge cloud of mercury comes off of these fillings,
And if you happen to be unfortunate enough to need a breath of air while they're working, you end up with a lung full of mercury particles, mercury vapor. A physician, a friend of ours, went to the dentist in North Carolina, and that when he had his fillings removed, within 2 weeks, he noticed that he was, like, he got out of the chair and he felt bad, and 2 weeks he felt a lot worse, went in the hospital, and he developed a disease of his heart called idiopathic dilated cardiomyopathy. Autopsies of people that die of idiopathic dilated cardiomyopathy find 22,000 times more mercury in their hearts than a healthy person or somebody was, you know, shot in a gunfight. So that's getting real close to what we would call causative, because, you know, that you can take somebody who is a healthy person and inject 22,000 times more mercury than is found in a healthy person, and their heart quits beating. He didn't die. He got a heart transplant. But, you know, I would rather, you know, have mercury fillings than a heart transplant. And if I was going to have my mercury fillings replaced, I would rather have them done appropriately. It's on the Internet. It's on the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology's website. The protocol is written out there for everybody on the planet to understand. And I'm just saying, and Dr. Stan would agree with me, be sure that you check on what goes in to replace the mercury filling, because, you know, the dental profession is very poorly regulated. The FDA is controlled completely by the American Dental Association, and that they do not adequately vet the new materials that are implanted in your tooth. Look at this. The definition by the FDA for an implant is any substance implanted in a man-made or natural cavity of the human body intended to remain more than 30 days. Well, that sounds a lot like a filling, doesn't it? And that implants, by law, must be at Class 3. By law. The Congress passed that law. They have to be Class 3. Class 3 means the manufacturers need to prove that they're safe. Well, call up the manufacturers of one of these fluoride-releasing fillings and say, you know, gee, I have 12 of them, and I would like to know what my daily dose is of fluoride. They say, oh, we don't know that. Well, I would like to know the dose that would be to my tongue that would rub across these. We don't know that. I would like to know how much fluoride is being absorbed in my gum. We don't know that. How can you get an implant approved? Oh, sure, it's fine. Go ahead and put it in. Without definitive proof of safety, and that's what's required by law.
Well, now, first of all, David, why are they adding fluoride, a deadly poison, to the composite material they're putting in our teeth, you know, when we replace the mercury fillings? Why are they adding the fluoride? What's the rationale?
2 points. Not all manufacturers add fluoride, so put that in your hat and keep it there. In the past, there was an excellent toothpaste company called Tom's of Maine. And the Tom's one time said he would never, ever put fluoride in his products. But, you know, as the public demanded products with fluoride, Tom eventually succumbed to consumer pressures, added fluoride to his products. Then he was able to penetrate all the major supermarkets like Vons and so forth. So his product became widely accepted as kind of a holistic or natural product. Well, it's not natural. It's got toxic waste in it. And so he said, well, he even put a little scenario on the side of his tube about how his fluoride was the natural kind because, they, you know, I don't care whether it came out of a volcano or it came out of the ground. It's fluoride, 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 fluoride. And so anyway...
All right, but let's get back to the composite material now.
Well, the reason is consumer demand... The dentist demanded. Is it because the filling makers want to control market share? And so as more and more dentists call up and say, "Say, does your filling material have hazardous waste leaking out of it to poison the germs that might want to eat around my filling?" And they say, "Yeah, we put fluoride in there." Fine, send me $1,000 worth of that stuff. I'll put it in people's teeth.
Oh, David, basically they put the fluoride in there so it will vent out. As supposedly, is it going to act as a bacteriostatic agent? Is it going to act as the fluoride? The theory being that the fluoride is going to strengthen the dental tissue, the dental the material. What is the rationale for putting fluoride into this composite, the plastic they're putting in?
Okay, the
a ceramic. It's really a ceramic, isn't it?
No, it's actually a composite. It's about 20% plastic, BisGMA, not BPA, but it can break down to BPA, BisGMA plus about 80% filler. The filler is usually something like ground glass, really finely sintered glass that's made so it bonds to the binder. You know, it's like concrete. You know, there's sand, gravel, and Portland cement. So, you know, it's the same idea, only that's what they fill teeth with. Now, what they've begun to do, based upon the demand of the dentist, is they add a highly leachable form of fluoride into the filling so that when the filling's in the tooth, if the dentist, you know, doesn't get a good watertight seal, or heaven forbid the patient goes out and has a candy bar and eats a little too much sugar, the bacteria eat around the edge of the tooth, that there's so much fluoride leaking out of the filling that it poisons the little germs that would like to live on the tooth. Well, that sounds very nice. It's kind of like, you know, putting an ant trap in your mouth so that you don't have any ants crawling around your teeth. Well, you'd think that was real crazy, you know, because everybody knows what's in an ant trap is a pesticide. Well, fluoride is a pesticide. It's used widely on grapes and lots of crops, lettuce. You know, it's a widely used pesticide. It's called cryolite, and it's used to kill termites. It's called sulfuryl fluoride. Many of the fruits and vegetables that come into this country from other countries are fumigated with sulfuryl fluoride. At least that's their desire to do. They used to use methyl bromide. So anyway, the dentists believe that putting a powerful pesticide in the filling is a really good idea because it might kill a germ that decided to hang out there. Well, you know, don't you have a tongue and a lip and a throat that's going to be exposed to the same pesticide? Nobody knows what level those tongue, throat, and lips are exposed to. But clearly, it's an insane idea.
Well, do you have any means of measuring the amount of fluoride that's in the saliva that we're being exposed to? I mean, it's a very tiny amount. We're getting it in everything else. We're getting it in our foods we get. Certainly, we're getting it in the toothpaste that we use. We're exposed to fluoride all the time. Do we have any idea how much fluoride there's in those cavities and, of course, what harm they can do? And we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Kennedy. The idea that you would put a poison into the filling to kill bacteria is sort of irrational. What's it going to do to us, those people of us who have these fillings? We'll be right back. Well, David, do we have any idea, of course, what the impact is that is, how much fluoride there's actually there?
Well, I've read two or three poorly done articles that seem to suggest that the amount of fluoride that a kid gets daily from doing sealants, that's the only stuff that they actually research adequately, in my opinion. Sealants is equivalent to drinking fluoridated water every day, and that's probably a milligram a day. That's an enormous amount. In our effort to protect babies, we found that as little as a tenth of a milligram a day suppresses the thyroid in infants. So, you know, you've got a 10 times that much from the fillings, and if you happen to be unfortunate enough to live in Los Angeles or San Francisco or Chicago or New York, Kansas City, or one of those other fluoridated cities like New Orleans or Philadelphia, you've got another dose of fluoride coming out of the water supply. So clearly we're overdosing this entire nation with fluoride, and that, you know, some of the sources are obvious, from water is one. Other are not so obvious. Is one of the things that everybody noticed recently is Beijing had terrible air pollution. Well, a lot of the air pollution in Beijing is fluoride air pollution. They have children with dental fluorosis from inhaling the air. So obviously, fluoride comes out of a lot of factories, brick manufacture, concrete, cracking oil. You know, everybody's concerned about oil. Well, don't live near an oil refinery because, well, the way they break that oil down into gasoline is fluoride. So anyway, you can be exposed to fluoride from 100 different sources. That I just think that it's unconscionable for dentists to secretly begin exposing people to fluoride without their consent and without adequately vetting and showing me in the peer-reviewed scientific literature how this product can be classified as a class 3 with definitive evidence of safety. There's no evidence that it's safe to ingest a milligram a day of fluoride, and there's no evidence that it's that low anyway, because, you know, what if you're, you know, had a lot of cavities when you're a kid? Instead of, you know, an average number of fillings, you got a you know, 10 times the average number of fillings. You know, that'll give you a huge dose.
Well, now you say this is the sealant. Is this in the plastic they're going to put in? Is it the sealant they put around that tends to bond then the plastic to the tooth?
That in children, if you go and I like sealants. I use them all the time in my practice. I just didn't use the toxic kind. Is that if you're a dentist for, you know, 2 hours, and you sat in the chair and you looked, you would notice that 90% of the people walking through had fillings right in the middle of the tooth, and this is the central groove. There's a crack in the middle of the tooth, and that's where, you know, 80% of the tooth decay occurs in people's teeth. So it wouldn't take any great rocket scientists. And then back in the turn of the last century, the G.B. Black said, you know, what we should do is drill out the middle of the tooth and put mercury in there because it's real poisonous and it'll kill any germs that want to live around the tooth. Well, we don't think that's such a good idea anymore, and there's a lot easier way. You can take and just clean off the center of the tooth. When the kid is 6 years old, permanent, first molar comes in, supposed to last him until he's 100 years old. If you cleaned off that tooth and you painted that groove in the center of the tooth with a nice bondable composite that glued in the center, that middle of the tooth doesn't rot. Well, that's a wonderful thing to do. I've discussed it in detail in my book. But what so people take something that's wonderful. Here's a very non-invasive procedure. Should be done in every school. For free, that you should have a school nurse.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with David Kennedy. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I'm trying to pin Dr. Kennedy down about, of course, the danger of using the fluoride as in the sealant that's used in the tooth, and of course in the plastic or the composite that's used in the tooth to replace the mercury filling. And David is simply saying that certainly once a child has a permanent tooth end at 6 years of age, pick the story up there. You say there's usually a crack in many of these?
Well, they're all it's called the central groove. It's part of the anatomy of the tooth. It's the part that rots. And anybody, you know, got a mirror, go over and look in the mirror, open up wide and look at your teeth. There, if you've got mercury fillings, there's a black filling or a silver filling in the middle of the tooth. If you've got composite fillings, there's a filling that's probably a little bit of a different color in the middle of the tooth. That's the part of the tooth that develops 80% of the tooth decay, and that there's a very simple procedure. It should be done on every child. If the dentist really cared about children, they would insist that the school nurse be trained to do this. That's done in other countries. It's not an invasive procedure. I'd insist that they use the non-toxic material, but you clean off the tooth and you paint the center of the tooth with a little bit of plastic. If you had a brand new stainless steel, not stainless steel, but an iron piece of iron, and you didn't paint it, it will rust in 24 hours. Well, exactly the same thing happens to teeth. If you don't seal up that groove, it develops tooth decay in a matter of months. That's a very simple, non-invasive procedure. No shots, no drilling, no problem. You just clean off the tooth and seal it. Now, what we're discussing is some of these insane manufacturers and insane dentists are now saying, well, that's such a good idea. Let's put poison in that filling or that sealant so that it leaks out and poisons any germs that happen to come by if the sealant isn't done that well. Well, if the sealant isn't done that well, it falls off, you know, because it's just glued to the tooth. And, you know, if you tried to glue the table leg together and you had water on the table leg, it's not going to glue, is it? So that's what happens to sealants. If they're done poorly, they fall off. Well, you know, do them again and dry the tooth. It's just not, you know, you don't have to drill away the tooth. All you got to do is say open wide, blow some air on the tooth, clean it off, air abrasion, or, you know, etch it with a little Coca-Cola, whatever, wash it off, dry it, and seal it. And that's just as simple as I can tell you. And so why shouldn't they do that? They should do that in every school throughout the United States. Tooth decay would drop by 80%. That would be very bad for the dentist business. So wherever that idea comes up, you get the dentist going in and say, oh, they're going to terrible things will happen, you know. The children will die because they have to swallow the cotton roll or something. You know, it's not true. It's just they don't want to share the marketplace with very simple procedures that are preventive and helpful to the children. And I think that's unconscionable. I mean, it's actually a violation of their oath. They've pledged to take care of people, and that they're not. They're taking care of themselves. Oh, what's new? Is this America? I think I remember that program.
All right, fine. Well, then, of course, when, of course, you're going to fill a tooth, when you are going to fill it with this composite material, is it the composite material that contains the fluoride, or is it the sealant that goes around the bonding material? Is that, or do they both contain the fluoride?
Let me be very clear about this. Neither contains the fluoride. They are added intentionally by the manufacturers.
All right.
So in my practice, I use the kind of sealants that didn't have any fluoride in it, and I used the kind of composites that didn't have leachable fluoride in them. You know, fluoride's everywhere. So, but you know, they put it in a form that makes it come back out.
In other words, basically, they're intentionally making it leachable.
Exactly.
With the idea that they're going to use this this substance, the fluoride there, to kill bacteria. Is that right?
That's right. Or choke them. It, you know, it's not very lethal, but what it does is inhibits the ability of the bacteria to breathe or respire. So if I'd rather kill them than choke them to death, but because when the fluoride goes away or the level drops, then the bacteria is still alive. That's kind of stupid, you know, if you think about it. You know, if you had a bunch of cockroaches in your house and that you had a ray gun that paralyzed them, and then as soon as you turn the ray gun off, they'd start running around again, you'd say, boy, I don't think that ray gun works that good on the cockroaches. And that's what's wrong with fluoride. It doesn't kill bacteria. It inhibits their ability to breathe. And so what they do and digest food. And so when you eat sugar, the bacteria in your teeth take that sugar and they break it into acid. And that's what eats the hole in your tooth. And so if you don't eat sugar, you don't get cavities. Simple as that. And so they say, well, let's eat lots of fluoride and we'll choke these little bacteria so that you can eat sugar and eat fluoride. Well, you know, to me, that's not right. You know, is it eat a helpful diet and you don't have problems with your teeth?
Well,
except for that groove in the center, and you got to seal that baby up.
Well, do you think that the average dentist has any idea that there's any danger from the fluoride they're using? Do you think the average dentist even knows that there's fluoride in the sealant or in the composite?
No. And they're buying, well, they may know that there's fluoride in the sealant and composite. They don't know that that's basically a time-release poison that has many repercussions, not just one or two.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Well, David, do we have any studies at all that have been done to try to evaluate the harmful effect of the fluoride within the composite or the sealant? Do we have any studies to show that it's harmful, or do we have any studies that show it's safe?
I'm not aware of any, Dr. Stan. The Congress in 1977 reviewed the issue of water fluoridation, and the advocates could find no studies showing that it was safe, so they ordered the National Toxicological Program to begin to study fluoride for cancer production. Fluoride does a lot more than cause cancer, but they ordered them to study and see if it caused cancer. Well, it was a two-year study. It took them 12 years to get it done, but in 1989, the rats had cancer of the lip, tongue, throat, liver, and bone. Now, that doesn't sound real good, so they put it in front of the very people who Congress did not trust to do the study in the first place, the United States Public Health Service, and that they changed every single cancer. Not once, but twice. They lowered them so that, you know, cancer of the lip became, you know, sore lip, and cancer of the throat went away. The cancer of the bone was turned into a benign tumor. It was unconscionable what these political doctors did. And that's why we have fluoride as an equivocal carcinogen instead of an overt carcinogen. Other countries have been more intelligent on this issue. But when you look at the problem of cancer and fluoride, the three different courts throughout the United States have reviewed this in detail in trials, and that all three courts came to exactly the same conclusion. No evidence of benefit from fluoride in the water, and that there was ample evidence that it either aggravates existing illness or increases the cancer death rate. Now, that's different than causes cancer, but there was very clear that the research had shown that the number of people who are going to die of cancer is greater in areas that fluoridate their water. So that's what three different courts determined back in the 70s. It has remained unchanged to this day. That was overturned at the appeal court level because the appeal court says governments get to govern and that courts do not. So if the government decides that you need to be swallowing some fluoride, you have the choice of changing the government or swallowing the fluoride. You know, you don't get to make decisions at the court level, even if every single expert on the planet, except one, said it was bad. The government can go to that one guy and say, hey, what do you think of this? A great idea. Okay, we'll do it.
All right, David, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest this evening is Dr. David Kennedy. We're talking about the fluoride in your fillings. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And yeah, I thought I knew most of the things that were going on. I was just really amazed to find out that they are adding leachable fluoride to the sealant that's put in our tooth and certainly to the composite material that's put in our tooth as a filling. And so I called Dr. Kennedy, asked him to come up and do a program with me on this subject and see if we can pin down what we really know about this new danger. We're under attack from all sides, ladies and gentlemen, whether it be the statin drugs, the genetically modified foods, so many of the food additives and food colorings that they're putting in, all of them toxic. This is why, of course, we've gone from one person in 33 with cancer at the beginning of the last century to one in every two men and one in every three women will get cancer today. This is happening, and what we ought to be doing is trying to prevent it, not using materials that we know are carcinogenic. Well, before we go on, David, I'd like you to get out of the website. How can people get more information on the subject we're talking about?
Well, the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology has a website on how to safely remove amalgam. I don't know of any website that details out the problems of fluoride in fillings. The keepersofthewell.org is an excellent website for fluoride in water, and that personally, what we have to do as far as, if you look at this as a problem, how are we going to save America from this intrusion? And I have basically devoted my efforts to trying to keep it and actually get it removed from the water, because that really fillings, you have a choice. You know, you're going to pay this person, insist that they use fillings that are biocompatible with you.
But because the thing is that the average individual doesn't even know there's a problem with fluoride in the water. Pardon me, fluoride in the composite. I didn't know that. And David, I've been studying this for a number of years. It wasn't until you mentioned it, and I'll have to admit it went right over my head. And then one of our listeners, you apparently had contacted you, and then of course had sent me an email, and suddenly this thing began to register. Is there fluoride in the composite that was put in my mouth? And dentist is a personal friend of mine. I'm sure he wouldn't do anything intentionally to harm me. But if there is fluoride in the composite, how dangerous is it? And is it really a danger? Is it something that's there, but it's only going to give us a very minuscule amount? And so basically this is what we really need to know. But the average individual is not going to go to the dentist and say, I want a composite that doesn't have any fluoride in it. He doesn't even know that anybody would even consider putting fluoride in there. So go ahead, pick up the story from there.
Well, you're absolutely correct, but the only thing I can do about it is be on your program and keep telling everybody, make sure your dentist is paying attention.
But of course, the thing is there any? Do we have any idea how much of the fluoride is going to leach out, and what level of fluoride we're going to get per day from the leaching of the fluoride in our dental material, our dental composites?
No, and no. Is it? They don't know how much comes out, and what they don't know is what the dose is to the adjacent tissue. And here's the thing, Stan. Fluoride's a poison. In the rats that had to drink 79 parts per million fluoride. Now, let me give you a relationship. Your toothpaste, Crest, is 1,000 parts per million. Many of the other toothpastes are 1,500. So if you look at that, 79 is a lot smaller than 1500. Okay, but so now how did the rat get the cancer of the lip? And that it had to go over this little glass spigot and lick the water out. You know, you've seen rat cages. You know, it's an upside down bottle with a little glass nipple on it, and he comes over and licks that. So if going over to lick that water that had 79 parts per million caused cancer of the lip, does 1,000 parts per million or 1,500 parts per million present a much greater risk? I would say so. But in the tooth filling material, there's roughly the neighborhood of, you know, who knows what. Because when you put the filling in there, there's a lot.
No,
and then it leaches out and it goes into the tissue around it, and that's still a lot, and then it gradually declines over time.
But
nobody will quantify that for me.
All right, Sydney, but when you say a lot, are we talking about, you know?
More than the 79, you know, we're probably up around 1,000.
Is that 1,000 parts per million?
Parts per million to the adjacent tissue or tongue.
Okay.
And but when what they want to do is they want to say, well, the daily dose, and so, you know, they're pretending like that your tongue is not rubbing on this thing all day, and that, you know, we have to worry about your toenails.
Oh, I find out, do we have any correlation between, of course, putting in the composite fillings that contain fluoride and an increased incidence of cancer of the tongue or of the lip?
Nope. Not yet. Nobody's done the study. There are no studies of that. And there are no studies in animals of that. I don't. And the American Dental Association just commented on the mercury issue before the FDA, and they said that animal studies are not appropriate to study dental materials. Now, let me ask you this. Are you aware of any medical authority that thinks animal studies are not appropriate to study every single thing under the sun medicine? You know, that in the Calgary Medical School, when they admitted 100 new students in year 2000, they also brought in 3,700 new animals for experiments so that they could determine whether or not your favorite anesthesia was going to kill the lady as it was giving birth to the baby, or was going to harm the fetus, or whether your aspirin was going to damage the baby. All of that stuff is experimented on first on animals rather than on children. And then what the dentist did is that they took a bunch of orphans in Portugal and they put mercury fillings in their teeth, and it blew out their kidneys. And they said, see, there's no problem. These kids can still, you know, survive and walk and talk. Wait a minute. You know, that the mercury first went up and then went down in the kidneys, and they started leaking out of an abnormal protein. And they said, well, you know, we're dentists. We don't know anything about that.
Well, let's go to Elizabeth, who's calling from Alaska. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And David says that there are no studies that show it's dangerous, but there are no studies that show it's safe either. And this is the question. I mean, how much are we going to get out? Is there a relationship between the composites, that they contain fluoride and, of course, cancer of the lip, cancer of the tongue? There have been no studies to show that it's safe, but in the studies that have been done in animals, it does show that, of course, it's carcinogenic. Well, Elizabeth, you have a question.
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you.
How are you hearing us? You're hearing us on the internet or shortwave?
Very well, thank you. I'm on the telephone in the house in Juneau, Alaska.
All right, fine. But you're hearing on the internet?
No, I'm hearing on the telephone.
Oh, you're hearing it on the telephone. Okay, yeah. Fine. Go ahead.
It's not in relation to cancer of the mouth at all, but I just wondered if I could ask for a comment, because some years ago, a friend of mine who was in her 30s had extensive work done in her mouth, a lot of fillings, and just around that time, shortly afterwards, she became disabled and paralyzed and had to be confined to a wheelchair. She was able-bodied, a runner up till that time. But nobody in the family would take that into consideration at all. That could have been a factor. And I'm just wondering if anyone else has had that kind of experience.
Yes, yes, they have. And my video that's on the first 8 minutes on the internet, it's called Smoking Teeth. But in the latter part, it's actually a 40-minute documentary. John Perlman, who's a physician, he talked about a female woman that was patient of his, a triathlete, tremendously fit, wonderfully healthy person, went to the dentist, had a bunch of mercury fillings drilled out, and now and then she is, within a few weeks developed a Parkinson's disease, and now she's confined to a wheelchair. Earlier on the program I was talking about a physician that had his fillings drilled out carelessly, and he developed a called idiopathic dilated cardiomyopathy, and basically you could call it pudding heart. The heart just turns into pudding and can't beat anymore in a young person. He was only in his late 50s, early 50s. Yes, many, many people are being killed by this careless removal of mercury fillings, but they're also being killed by the placement of mercury fillings. There's a number of studies showing that the people that have multiple sclerosis have more mercury fillings in their teeth. They have more mercury in their bodies. There's studies of Alzheimer's disease. They have more mercury in their brains. They have more mercury in their cerebral spinal fluid. They have more mercury in their kidneys. So, yes, mercury is causing a whole host of problems. And if you go to get them removed, you should follow the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. It's on our website, IAOMT's protocol for mercury removal, which requires that the dentist, you know, squirt cold water at it, put a huge vacuum next to it, put a hose on your nose that provides fresh air.
And put a dam in the back of your throat.
Dam in the back of your throat, right. And do something to keep you from swallowing or inhaling the mercury. And that's unfortunate, is a lot of dentists, oh, that's such a bunch of hogwash. I stand around here and do this all day. Well, we're not all created equal. Some
right.
people do not excrete mercury. We even saw that in the children's mercury poisoning experiment that the National Institute of Dental Research did on Portugal, that some kids excreted mercury very well. Some did not. And so that's that picture right there. If you are not a good excreter, you're the one that gets poisoned.
Does that help you, Elizabeth?
Yes, that's very valuable information. I'm so glad that you're informing people about this kind of situation and that we can be more aware and more conscious and pass that on. Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome,
your
Elizabeth.
Yes.
Thanks very much. Of course, that's certainly that's Elizabeth calling from Alaska. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we carry Dr. Kennedy's book. What's the title of your book, Dr. Kennedy?
How to Save Your Teeth.
How to Save Your Teeth. And that, I don't see it listed here, but I know that, that would be in the health catalog. We do have a special health catalog you can get from us. And of course, we do carry most of Dr. Kennedy's DVDs. Have you sent us any of the more recent ones?
I'm still waiting for the reproducer to get the poisoned horses out. That's the story about the horses that were poisoned by drinking fluoridated water in Pagosa Springs, and nicely documented in the peer-reviewed scientific literature. The dentists always want to talk about peer-reviewed scientific literature, that there are not one but two detailed analyses of these horses, clear down to the amount of fluoride in their bones. And so that drinking fluoridated water is really bad for horses, we can say that for sure.
And, of course, well, we know it's harmful for people as well, but, of course, that fact is being suppressed because there really are people out there who have a different worldview and, of course, who believe there are too many people in the world and we can just get the population control of business, why they're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic, why the cancer is increasing, why, of course, we have so much more diabetes and autoimmune disease. All of these things are part of the population control agenda, but that's a different subject, although I would suggest my talk, Nundare College Genocide, available on DVD, and my talk entitled The Planned Population Reduction. They're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WARREN. Let's go to Chris, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Doing fine.
I just tuned in a little bit, so maybe you've covered this already. I heard you mention that in the Portugal experiment, it was noted that certain children had no problem excreting mercury and others did have a problem. And I think in the reading I've done on it, if I remember right, and I'm wondering if Dr. Kennedy could confirm or say it's not true, that there are genetic tests that show that Northern Europeans in general are more susceptible to having a problem with excreting mercury, and that there are genetic tests you can do to find the subset of the population that has the problem excreting mercury.
Do you have any thoughts on that at all, David?
Good point. The problem, I don't believe they've narrowed it down to the, whether it's Northern European or whether it's the other communities. I'm well aware of the, at least not one but two different genetic subsets of the population. The allelopotein APOE4 leaves you predisposed to absorbing mercury into your brain and not being able to get it out. Three is midway, and then two are really good brain excretors of mercury. And that's the APOE2, 3, and 4 scenario. You get one gene from each parent, so if you're 4-4, you're in deep trouble, and if you're 2-2, you can take a bath and stuff. Won't bother your brain. Then there's another genetic subset that is CPOX, C-P-O-X. In the Portuguese experiment, actually it was the little boys that lost their ability to excrete mercury much more rapidly than the girls. And so when they talk about vulnerable subsets, let's make it males first.
Because maybe that's why we have more autism in males than in females.
I think four to ten times more boys are autistic, and they're the ones with the high testosterone level. And even if you took a girl and a boy that were twins, and the mother had a bunch of dental work done while she's pregnant, the girl is going to be less impaired than the boy if it holds true with the research. And the other problem is a thing called CPOX. CPOX is the coporphyrinogen, and that you can actually measure this. They did in the children's mercury poisoning study. They have not been willing to share that information with the public or with other researchers. I'm of the opinion, if there was a substantial number of CPOX positive children, that they may actually prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that exposing that child to mercury will cause harm. Why do I say that? It's because there are studies from Washington by the same author that was on the children's mercury poisoning study, Woods and Diana Echevarria, showing that dental personnel that are CPOX positive, 75% of them are impaired, and 17% of that are severely impaired. So what if you were CPOX positive and an APOE4/4? You're completely blown out of the water. So we now know, the dentists have often said, well, you can't prove that caused this. And it's kind of like, one of the murderers says, well, you can't prove that was my DNA on that person. Well, 30 years ago, they might be right. And 20 years ago, they might be right. Today, they're wrong. We can prove, because of the advances in technology, we can prove that caused this. Well, with the CPOX genetic predisposition and the APOE4/4, we can prove that mercury's causing this harm.
Are both of those tests fairly inexpensive to do?
No, they're about $1,000 a piece, I think.
One of the interesting things is that, of course, if you are autistic children, have very low levels of mercury in their hair, and so the people say, oh, see, they don't have any mercury in them. No, the thing is, they can't excrete mercury. Normal children will have a certain amount of mercury in their hair, but if you cannot excrete it, it doesn't get in your hair, it stains in your brain. It does terrible damage. Hey, Chris, thanks very much for calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, and of course, our guest, of course, is Dr. David Kennedy, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up our program here at Radio Liberty. Well, David, you want to go ahead and, of course, wrap up the program? You've got 3 minutes to get your thoughts out here.
Okay, Dr. Stan, and let me say thank you for bringing this issue to the forefront. Is dentists are perfectly willing to accept your money to remove the mercury fillings, and that if they don't do it carefully, the patient, it will get more than they bargained for. They're going to get a huge dose of mercury. So they have to follow the IMT protocols, and that that will minimize your exposure to And
you know, but I think even when you do use that protocol, you can still get into some problem. We'll never forget when I had my mercury fillings taken out, and when they took down the dam in the back of my throat, and it was done by a very capable dentist, I really got a tachycardia. I didn't know what to think. It only lasted for a moment or two, but I'm sure I got a blast of mercury that I wasn't expecting, no matter how careful you are. And I hate to think what would happen if they hadn't taken all the precautions.
There's an experiment in the 50s where they put radioactive fillings in and they extracted the teeth, and still mercury came out in a huge amount after the extraction. So that no matter how careful you are, there's still going to be an exposure the day that the filling is removed. So I tell people to do one tooth and see how that goes. Then do two teeth and see how that goes. You know, it doesn't mean you shouldn't get them out. It just means that if you are sensitive to it, go slow rather than fast. And so you're absolutely correct, Dr. Stan, and that even if all the precautions, that you can have a syncope, idiosyncratic reaction. You don't want any of that stuff, and there are ways to avoid that or minimize that, and I agree with you. And two, be careful about the material that you put in the tooth, and that's what this program was about, is that you got to be careful about what you stick back in the hole, and you want to make sure that it's biocompatible with your system. That you can, there are the analysis, the manufacturers won't tell you what's in it, but there are ways to measure what's in stuff. It's called atomic absorption. You take it, you burn it, you blow it through a gas chromatograph. Anyway, you can measure what's in the materials, and the Clifford Laboratory has done that. I strongly recommend that people use materials that they test good for. And the IAMT .org has the protocols up, published, easy for you to go in and read yourself. That is, you know, I'm not a rocket scientist. To protect your nose, protect your throat, protect your self. And the dentist, if he's standing there in his bare face or with a paper mask on, I'd get another dentist. Because if you're just willing to pretend like you're going to take these people's teeth fillings out, and you're just taking the money rather than protecting your staff or yourself, you know, there's laws against that. They can't just stand there.
We're out of time, David. God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. The website would be IAOMT, the International Association of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, IAOMT. And of course we carry Dr. Kennedy's book on how to protect your teeth. And then, of course, we have several of the DVDs he's made dealing with water fluoridation. And we have, of course, and even a couple that deal with mercury. So certainly you can go to our website. We'll be glad to send you a health catalog if you'd like to get one. But if you have access to the Internet, go to our website and look at the various items that we have. Dr. Kennedy's put out specifically in the health section. And we actually have at least two DVDs dealing with water fluoridation. We have two DVDs dealing with mercury intoxication, mercury from the fillings that are being put into our people. And, of course, the check back we're giving still. They tell us they've taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, but they've left the mercury in vaccines that are given to children. They're playing these little word games. They've taken the mercury out of childhood vaccines, but they've left it in vaccines given to children specifically. They've left it in the influenza vaccine that's given to pregnant women, so it can be given in the first trimester, where it will do the most damage to the mind, the developing mind of the child. And then, of course, it's one of the recommended vaccines at 6 months of age and 1 year of age, and every year until they're five, and they're giving it to the elderly because, of course, it will destroy their minds and increase Alzheimer's disease. They're giving it to the children so there won't be a dramatic decrease in the incidence of autism. And you say, how could any logical, compassionate human being want to injure our children? And I would say, because they're not dealing with logical, compassionate human beings. We're dealing with people who believe there are too many people in the world who hate humanity. Now, certainly the majority of the people really don't understand what's going on, but there are a small group that do, and they have an entirely different worldview. because they worship a different god. And I'll never forget one time talking to a female woman who, when we were debating this before the House of the Delegates of the California Medical Association. I think it had to do with telling women that certainly the things that they were doing, I think it was first trimester abortion, could actually increase the incidence of breast cancer. And we simply wanted to present this material, and women should be advised of the possibility there was a relationship between first trimester abortion and breast cancer. And this woman doctor was opposing me at every step, and I looked at her, you know, when we were off the floor. I said, "Why are you doing what you're doing? We just want to advise women there's a possibility there might be a problem." And she looked at me with the most evil eyes you've ever seen and said, "You don't understand. We have a different worldview." And they do. They have a different worldview. Understand that, ladies and gentlemen. They're actually doing harm. We have two four-tape sets on water fluoridation. We have certainly the DVDs that Dr. Kennedy's put out. We have the book on fluoride, fluoride deception. We have, of course, four tape sets on mercury. We have several DVDs on mercury. One of them is called Sweet Remedy. The other is called One Sweet Remedy. The other is just just ask for the two DVDs on mercury. But of course, the ones they really go into the background of the real danger of mercury. As it's been used in the past. And so then, of course, we also have material on aspartame. Remedy has to do with aspartame. But you need to understand the dangers of aspartame. They're poisonous for that as well. And so our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Go to our website, radioliberty.com, and pull down the information that's readily available there. If you'd like to get a health catalog or a regular catalog or a health food catalog, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. And then if you're in a position to help us get on the station up there in Spokane, we do need financial help to do that. We do need to reach as many people as we can. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to